Blessed are the cheesemakers. What did he just say? I think he said, blessed are the cheesemakers. The cheesemakers? What's so special about them? Well, you see, it's not to be taken literally. It applies to all who handle dairy. This is probably my favorite scene from Monty Python's Life of Brian. One of the many that elicit the kind of laughter that makes my cheeks hurt. This particular scene opens with Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The camera then pans far enough out to see the massive crowd that has gathered to hear him. Eventually, the camera lands on Brian, his mom, and a few other people who are gathered at the very back of the crowd, and we, the audience, only see Jesus in the far-off distance. Since they are so far away, they have trouble hearing, and so the dialogue that unfolds is hilarious as the crowd misinterprets what he says. There are quotes such as, maybe he will say, blessed are the big noses, and, oh, I think he said, blessed are the meek. That's nice. They have a hell of a time. The whole film follows just what the title suggests, The Life of Brian. And it opens with two different manger scenes, one where the babe is Brian and one where it is Jesus. They first visit Brian's manger, and despite his mother's pleading with them to stay and especially to leave the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they decide to move along and find where the Messiah has been born. So the viewers of the film are made aware from the very beginning that Jesus and Brian are the same age, born at the same time, but are two different characters. After the manger scene, we move to the Sermon on the Mount and then continue to follow the life of Brian as it parallels the life of Jesus and his ministry. Now, when this film was first released, as many of you know, it was considered blasphemous. Many people were appalled at the humor that accompanied the religious interpretations in the film. After the premiere in New York City, religious leaders condemned the film and urged others not to see it. One spokesman of the Archdiocese of New York stated, "The picture holds the person of Christ up to comic ridicule." Another said it was the most blasphemous film he'd ever seen, and that it pretended to be nothing else. Pressure was on movie theater owners as to whether or not they were going to even screen the film, and the ones that did had picketers and demonstrations outside their doors. So all of this, plus the R rating the film has, must leave you wondering, why in the world did Heather decide to preach on this movie? And I wish I could tell you that Pastor John made me do it, and I could probably get away with that since he's not here, but that would be a lie. And in fact, I did choose to preach on this film. Despite all the debate and concern that the movie raised, I feel that dismissing it would be a shame. This film has a powerful message to teach us and great humor and joy to offer, and frankly, I think we need both. Now, I can only imagine you're not only doubting my film choice, but my scripture choice as well, right? John chapter 1. We only hear that on Christmas Eve. And I know the year's gone by fast, but no, it's not Christmas yet. And you're right. We usually only hear this story during Advent, which means that we only interpret the Word made flesh as coming in the form of a baby. But what if we read the Word became flesh in adult form? This weekend, I was at annual conference in Corpus Christi, which is where the other pastors are and some of our lay leaders. And we had the privilege of hearing Bishop Schnazy preach at opening worship. And when he began reading his scripture for that day, I quickly realized that he was reading from The Message by Eugene Peterson. Now, there's something you must know about me. I'm a bit of a biblical languages nerd. So when I realized that he was reading from The Message, I quickly became appalled because it doesn't come anywhere near the original Hebrew or Greek. But I respect Bishop Schnazy, so I thought he might be on to something. So when I got back to my hotel room, I decided to look up the Message translation for today's scripture. And here's what I found. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Dang it, I like that. Moved into the neighborhood. So today we're reading the birth narrative again to remind us that Jesus didn't stay an infant. He grew. He went through adolescence. He became an adult. And yes, he moved into the neighborhood. Sometimes I think we forget Jesus is just as human as an adult as he was as an infant. Part of the reason why I think so many people get offended by Life of Brian is because it's a glimpse into the fully human and fully adult life of Christ. Yes, the film is about Brian, but its creators make it easy for us to attribute the same situations that Brian is experiencing to Jesus. There are scenes where Brian is asked to speak wisdom to a crowd off the top of his head, so he comes up with things like, "Don't judge, because then you might get judged yourself." There are times when Brian gets so exhausted of being followed by a massive crowd that he asks them to leave him alone. I think Jesus probably got like that too. And you know what? Jesus also had feelings. Anger, sadness, frustration, joy, loneliness. He had relationships. He had a sense of humor. And he wasn't above a good joke or pun. He had to sleep, eat, bathe, and do all the other things that our physical bodies demand of us. Now, for some, that might be a bridge too far. For some, that might make us a little uncomfortable, and I wonder why we sometimes get offended when faced with the humanity of Christ. Sometimes it's easier for us to accept Christ's divinity than Christ's humanity. And I wonder what that says about how we view our own humanity. So what does accepting Christ as fully human and fully divine do to our faith, if anything? Well, I would argue that it changes a lot. When we accept the humanity of Christ, our faith becomes more relatable, more personable. We can be like Jesus because Jesus was like us. The fact that God said, "I want to know what it's like to be human. I want to experience that. I want to participate in the history of humanity." That's not something we should take lightly. John 1, the Word became flesh. That's remarkable. Our loving and giving and humble God came to earth and wanted to be part of her creation. You know what else is remarkable? The movie Mary Poppins. No, seriously, that's a great movie. How many of you remember the scene where they go to visit Uncle Albert? And he's in this uncontrollable laughing fit, so strong that it makes him float up to the ceiling, and he can't come down. So Mary Poppins takes the kids and tries to get him to come down from the ceiling. And he sings the song, "I love to laugh, ha 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 ha." Eventually, since laughter is contagious, the kids and Dick Van Dyke's character end up on the ceiling as well. What a great scene, right? And I would venture to say that not a single one of us in the room could watch that without smiling or laughing ourselves. That kind of laughter, that kind of joy, those are vital to who we are as human beings. It's one of the things that makes us especially unique. And if we truly are created in the image of God, and I strongly believe that we are, then we must also believe that we serve a laughing and joyful God. Now, I'm sure I don't have to convince any of you that God has a sense of humor. I know we have all had experiences that can only be explained with God reminding us that she is not above a good joke. But if you can't recall any, you can simply turn to Scripture. Like the passage I almost chose for today, Genesis 21, the story of Abraham and Sarah. You know the story. They were unable to conceive a child until Abraham was very old in age. And then she did bear a son, even though no one thought it was possible. God laughs and reminds us that all things are possible. In verse 8, we read, Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears will laugh with me." And so naturally, they named their child Laughter, or as we know him, Isaac. And this is just the first of many times when we think something is impossible and God laughs and shows us it's not. In fact, the whole Bible is riddled with riddles and puns and jokes. And if you think I'm kidding, see me after church. Proverbs 17:22 states, "A cheerful disposition is good for your health." Or as we more commonly know it now, laughter is the best medicine. The Bible itself is like a funhouse, making things big that were small, calling the first last and the last first, blessing the poor and the meek and the cheesemakers. Even Jesus primarily delivered his message through riddles and a play on words. And God is still keeping us on our toes. The movie Life of Brian has elicited a lot of conversation over the years. But what I want you to take away today is the image it gives us of a human Jesus. And it delivers that message with a laugh. The lyrics of the song that Maren sang so beautifully earlier, "Always Look on the Bright Side," that gives an expression to the philosophy underlining this film. There is the absurdity of life and the finality of death. Nonetheless, those who live must not forget to embrace the joys of life while yet alive. So today, we're celebrating our humanity, our likeness of God, and in particular, the God-given gift of joy in laughter. There's a long-standing history in the church to have a Sunday after Easter called Holy Humor Sunday. I think y'all had one here a couple years ago. And it's time to set aside a special Sunday to remember that as faithful people, it's more than acceptable to laugh, to find humor in our experiences, and to share joy. So in a minute, we're going to say a unique affirmation of faith. And to close our service, we will sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee," but with new words. And I hope that joy and laughter will not stop once you leave here, but that you'll realize that humor, it really is holy. And that smiling, it exercises our soul. In preparing for this sermon, I watched a clip from a BBC interview with the creators of Life of Brian and the Bishop of England, from the Church of England, and from 1979. The bishop, as you can imagine, was not a fan of the film and was harshly criticizing it and picking it apart. At one point, the bishop asked, "Now, do you really think this film is going to help anybody?" "Absolutely," they responded. "We want people not to blindly accept what comes from the pulpit, but to work it out for yourselves." So I challenge you today. Don't take my word for it. Give laughter and joy and humor a try and see if God shows up in those places. See if God will meet you there, strengthen your faith, and bless you and those around you. Because I truly believe blessed are the cheesemakers, but I also believe that blessed are the joy makers as well. Amen.